عبد الله ابن مسعود علی رضی اللہ عنہم، عمار ابن یاسر، سلمان فارسی، ابو موسیٰ الاشری، and many many more of the eminent sahaba, they actually lived in Kufa. Then after that, Imam Abu Hanifa lived for 6 years in Makkah, and according to the strongest opinion, he did about 15 hajjis. So he would learn, they would go for hajj and they would seek knowledge, and he would teach and he would seek knowledge. And then after Hammad passed away, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah started this halqa in Kufa, and they mentioned after a very short time his halqa became the largest in Kufa. There was no halqa in Kufa which was as big as Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, when I came to Kufa, I asked the people of Kufa, who is the greatest faqih of Kufa? They said, Abu Hanifa. I said, who is the greatest zahid? The man who stays away from the dunya the most. They said, Abu Hanifa. Ibn Shaqiq mentions, I was walking one day with Imam Abu Hanifa, and there was a man coming, and when he saw Imam Abu Hanifa, he took the other path. And Imam Abu Hanifa called him, and he said, why did you take the other path when you saw me? He said, you know, Imam, you know I owe you 10,000 dirhams. And I've come across hard times. And I'm embarrassed to see you. And Imam Abu Hanifa said, has it come to this? That you see me and you take another path? He said, bear witness, I have forgiven you. And Ibn Shaqiq mentions, on that occasion, I realized that this man was a true Zahid. Imam Abu Hanifa was very rich, but he spent everything in the path of Allah, until the narration mentioned that his students entered his house and there was only one mattress there. And then later on in his life, he made the money again. Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, when I came to Kufa, I asked the people, who is the person of the greatest taqwa? They said it was Imam Abu Hanifa. And this is why when Imam Abu Hanifa gave his fatwas, he didn't take them lightly. He feared Allah. Ja'far ibn Rabi says, I stayed with Imam Abu Hanifa for 5 years. And every time he was asked a question, he would sweat like a river. He had an entire shura of 40 of his greatest students. And they would sometimes deliberate on one masla for an entire month. And his students mentioned that sometimes we couldn't reach a conclusion. And Imam Abu Hanifa would stand up and he would say, maybe it's because of my own sins that we can't reach a conclusion. And he would do wudu, he would pray 2 rakats, and he would cry in front of Allah and he would do tawbah. And when Fudayl ibn Ayyaz heard this, who was Fudayl ibn Ayyaz? Fudayl ibn Ayyaz was known as Abid al-Haramain, the worshipper of the two harams, because they say that there was not a place in the two harams where his tears had not fallen out of the fear of Allah. And he was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa. And when he heard this, he began to cry. And he said, the truth is that the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa don't have many sins to do tawbah from. And wallahi, this is why I am more comfortable with the mistakes of the Salaf than the ijtihad of my contemporaries. Because of their taqwa, they feared Allah. They were on a total different plane. They were different plane. When Waqi ibn al-Jarrah, somebody complained to him about Abu Hanifa rahimullah, that he makes a lot of mistakes. And Waqi ibn al-Jarrah was the teacher of Imam Shafi rahimullah. And he said, and this is for those who say, you know, we only follow one man. We don't follow one man. We follow 100,000 scholars. Many of them were Hafiz al-Hadith, who looked, checked and refined his school. And he said, how can Abu Hanifa make mistakes when he has students like Hassan, Zufar and Abu Yusuf in fiqh and ijtihad? And in hadith, he has students like Hafs ibn Ghayath, Hibban, Qindal, And in language, he has people like Abdurrahman ibn Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And in taqwa, he has students like Fudayl ibn Iyad and Dawud al-Tai. And in tariq and tafsir and hadith, he has students like Abdullah ibn Mubarak. He said, how can a man like this make mistakes? And he made every person make mistakes. But we don't follow one person. And this is why I say to those who criticize our school, I say what Frazdak said to Jarir. He said, Ha'ulai abai, fajitni bimithlihim. He said, these are my forefathers. These are my scholars. Bring me your scholars who equal them. Bring me your scholars who equal them, because you don't have anything which compares with them. And it's people, it's shameless when people come and start saying things like, oh, yeah, Imam Abu Hanifa was, you know, he was a great imam, but his salah was weak. What do you mean his salah was weak? He was the imam of his time and he didn't know how to pray salah. Have some humility. He didn't need Imam Bukhari. Imam Bukhari came after him. He lived in Kufa. He lived in Makkah. If his salah was weak, they would have told him it was weak. Abdullah ibn Mubarak would have told him. Fudayl ibn Iyaz would have told him. Imam Malik would have told him. And you can't string three words of Arabic together and you are taking fault out of the imams. Because this is a lack of humility. Look at the taqwa of these people. You know, Yazid ibn Qumayt mentions, he says that one day we prayed salah with Imam Abu Hanifa and the Imam Isha Salah, and the Imam read Surah Zilzal. And then he finished the Surah, and obviously at the latter part of the Surah, there is the, you know, if a person does an iota of good, he will see it. And if the person does an iota of evil, he will see it in the hereafter. And he says, after Salah, Imam Abu Hanifa sat down and he began to contemplate. And he began to think. And he said, I didn't want to disturb him. He said, I didn't want to disturb him. So he said, I left him. He said, I came back at Fajr time. And Imam Abu Hanifa was sitting in the very same place I left him. And he was holding his beard and he was crying and his tears were coming down his face. And he was saying, oh Allah, who will take me into reckoning for an iota's equal of evil I've done. Save me from the fire of Jahannam on the day of judgment. Imam Dhahibi mentions that it's tawatir. There's no doubt in it that Imam Abu Hanifa used to play for long portions of the night and he would cry in front of Allah. Sometimes all night he would recite one verse out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the man. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, the famous muhaddith, said, I sat with Imam Abu Hanifa and I looked at his face and he says, I saw the fear of Allah in his face. I saw the fear of Allah in his face, and it was based on these qualities that Allah accepted him to be Imam of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah for the last 1300 years. He was regarded as an Imam in his own time. And there's something I want to speak about today, which sometimes we overlook on the life of Imam Abu Hanifa. And that was his bravery and his steadfastness. He was regarded as Imam of his time. Imam Abu Hanifa lived under the Umayyads for 52 years and under the Abbasids for 18 years. Now the Umayyads, they were very Arab-centric. And they weren't very just. Besides the short portion of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Abdulaziz, the rest, they weren't very just. But they regarded Imam Abu Hanifa as the Imam of his time. The governor of Kufa ibn Hubayra, when he chose qazis, he chose people like Ibn Shibrama and Ibn Abi Layla to be the judges of Kufa. And on top of them, he wanted the main judge to be Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. And Imam Abu Hanifa refused to take the post. And these scholars, Ibn Shibrama and Ibn Abi Layla, they're narrators of the Siha. They came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah and they said, "Oh Abu Hanifa, don't throw yourself into destruction. Take the post. For we were compelled to take the post and we took it." And this was their ijtihad, alhamdulillah. And Imam Abu Hanifa said, "I swear by Allah, I will not take the post." He said, "Even if they wanted me to fix the door on the Wasit Masjid, I wouldn't even do that for them. And you want me to put my stamp to authorize the beheading of some innocent man?" He said, "By Allah, I will not take it." And Ibn Hubayra, who was the governor of Kufa, took an oath that Imam Abu Hanifa would take it. And Imam Abu Hanifa took an oath that even if they killed him, he wouldn't take it. And he said, "Beating is easier for me than that I come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chains as an unjust person." And when Ibn Hubayra heard that Imam Abu Hanifa had taken an oath, he said, "Does he compete with my oath?" And he summoned Imam Abu Hanifa. And for 15 days he kept Imam Abu Hanifa in prison. And they tried to convince him, they couldn't convince him. And then he brought him to his court. And he said, "Abu Hanifa, you will take the post, I swear by Allah. And if you don't take the post, I swear by Allah, I will have you whipped on your head until you die." And Imam Abu Hanifa said, "Innama hiya mitatun wahida." He said, "Go ahead, you can only kill me once. Wallahi, my imam wasn't just a faqih. He wasn't just a muhaddith. He wasn't just an abid or zahid. He was a mujahid." Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdhulul jihad kalimatu haqqin inda sultanin ja'ir," that the greatest jihad you can do is to speak words of truth in front of a tyrannical ruler. And this is what Imam Abu Hanifa did. And when Imam Abu Hanifa said this, Ibn Hubayra became enraged and he told the Jalad, he said, "Whip him on his head." And he whipped him once, twice. And when the third one struck, Imam Abu Hanifa said, "Oh Ibn Hubayra, I swear by Allah, a day will come that Allah will disgrace you like you are disgracing me today." You know, Imam Abu Hanifa might have thought that was disgrace for him at that time. But I swear by Allah, in our eyes, that is izzah. That is respect. Because he stood up for what he believed for. Then he stood up for what he believed in. He didn't capitulate. And his words, they shook Ibn Hubayra. And Ibn Hubayra told the Jalad to stop. And the narrator mentions that Imam Abu Hanifa would be whipped every day. But the only time he cried was when he was whipped on his head, because it made a mark upon his face. And he said, "I fear that when my mother sees these marks, it will pain her. And this is why I'm crying." He wasn't crying for himself. And this was Imam Abu Hanifa when the Khawarij, they took over Kufa. Now the Khawarij were very interesting people. They liked to put a fatwa of takfir on everybody. Anybody disagreed with them, they were kafirs. Anybody committed a major sin, they were kafirs. They didn't even spare Ali radiallahu anhu. They said Ali believed in arbitration when the ikhtilaf, and they said hukm is only for Allah. And they put a fatwa of kufr on even Ali radiallahu anhu. Now when they took over Kufa, one of the first people that they dragged in was Imam Abu Hanifa. And they said to Imam Abu Hanifa, they said, "This is the Sheikh of Kufa." So they said to him, "Abu Hanifa, do tawbah.